Every startup begins with an ambitious founder and an idea, but what inspires them to take the leap into the entrepreneurial world? I'm Peter Jun Ho Sang, founder and CEO of Beyond Form, and welcome to our new founder series. I'll be sitting down with a few of our startup founders to hear about their journey as entrepreneurs in the fashion tech world. On today's episode, I'm sitting down with Andrew and Jules, co-founders of Fine, to talk about their personal journeys of entrepreneurship. You may remember 12 months ago, we spoke to Andrea as the Fine team were about to finish their textiles acceleration. But what's happened since then? A lot. The Fine platform is now fully functional and the fashion industry is taking note of how it can leverage data to manage surplus stock. We find out in this episode what it's taken the team to get to this point and if such platforms can get the industry to become truly circular.
AI is an amazing opportunity to help fashion brand to more easily manage this complex topic of unsold product. Instead to set up a stock clearance campaign, you will be able to just ask Fines, I want to create an offer for my outlet. I want to, you know, bring in this offer the best product, and boom, Fines will automatically set up an offer for you.
Let's get signaled to Andrew and Jules' founder journeys on this episode of Venturing Into Fashion Tech.
How are you today, Andrea? How are you, Jules?
Great.
Hi, Peter. I'm great. Thanks.
Happy to be here.
Good to hear that. I'm looking forward to today's episode recording. So obviously, we recorded you nearly 12 months ago, Andrea. So today's episode is going to be a bit of an update as to what's been happening in the world of Fines and the subject of surplus stock and sustainability and AI as well. So looking forward to see how you guys have progressed. But before we actually go into the episode, I'm just going to give some context to our listeners as to what's happening in the space itself. So 62% of larger retailers confirm that they were struggling with excess inventory compared to 42% of SMEs. So this was a study created by Inventory Panel that surveyed 500 retailers with specific mentions on Gap, ASOS and Jewel, which are really suffering amongst the very large retailers. Around one third of clothes produced every year are never sold. So it's huge, a huge problem for the entire world. In the case of the retailers mentioned just earlier, this amounts to more than 100 million euros in excess stock every year. They have got warehouses piled with lots of stuff and they need to do something with it. So this is where Fines comes in, I think, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later on. And last time in your episode, Andrea, we talked about the Argelès law that came into full force in France in 2022, which bans the destruction of fashion products. So they need to do something with it. However, this has instigated alarm bells for French fashion brands, but change seems to be still very slow in the industry in general. And I think that's where the Fines team has a great opportunity. So we're going to get straight into it. We've heard Andrea's story previously in the previous episode. So for those of you that are listening, there will be a link to the episode as well in the description to Andrea's journey. But Jules, it's your first time on the show. What's your story? How did you get into entrepreneurship and how did you decide to join Andrea?
Actually, I got in this journey more than 10 years ago. In the middle of my schooling, I decided to create with my friend a first company in the web. It was a tech company, try to build a social network who will help entrepreneurs to build projects. But we were also young, so maybe not enough experiences. So we ran this project for 1 year approximately. And after that, we decided with this approximately the same team to create another company in the cosmetic and vape industry. We were a liquid, illiquid producer. And we also opened some shop retail in Paris. And this adventure was 7 years, 7 years project for me. And in 2020, I decided to quit and to join Andrea, who have already created the retouch. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, it was previously called the retouch. And yeah, for me, it was a super interesting topic in general, something really big. Previously I worked in the vape industry, such a new industry. The fashion industry was for me super interesting because it's super big, a lot of actors all around the world, a lot of culture linked with it. And big challenge. I was always super sensitive about the environment problem. And when Andrea started to explain me the volume give me some numbers about the fashion industry and the waste problem, I was super interested in.
And obviously, you don't come from the fashion world, as you've just mentioned. You come from the vape world prior to Fine. Andrew, you obviously come from the fashion world, having studied it as well. Joel, how did it feel, or how does it feel to enter into this new industry where it's very different to what you were previously doing?
Yeah, of course. You just need to visit a vape shop and to go in the fashion retail shop just after to understand the difference. I mean, it was, really interesting. First, you see fashion people. You heard about a fashion show and so on and so on. And more you deep dive, you also meet a really technical person. Today we deal in exchange with supply chain managers, stock managers. So also a lot of engineers, maybe more high than in this business, you don't see them. I mean, fashion is not a super particular business. It's a business with a lot of different kind of people who collaborate together to run this industry. And I can find my place in.
So, Andrew, just to remind our listeners, a very quick 30 seconds about who you are.
Yeah, so I came I'm Austrian originally. I came to Paris around 7 years ago. I have an economics and management background. But in Paris, I specialized immediately on everything which is circular economy. I've written a piece on that 7 years ago, how fashion should adopt and can adopt circular economy. And because I was researching so much on this topic, I thought, I want to apply it, and the best way is to create a startup and work in innovation and try to change things.
So you really want to be an agent of change, is what I understand. So we get asked all the time at Beyond Phone by founders, oh, I really want to find a co-founder, I need a founding team, I'm a bit lonely by myself. What was the moment, Andrew, that you realized that you needed Jules in this startup?
Well, actually, the idea even before Jules joined me, we had it together. We were already collaborating I was working as a freelancer with a brand on sustainability topics. We were already working previously on this subject as well. So because it was working well and we complement each other quite well, we had the idea to do a project together. And yeah, and honestly, until you don't work together, you will not know if it really works out. So I would say, in any case, as long as you can try to work together before you actually create a startup or do some engagement, that is the best way, yeah.
But for our listeners, you guys were once three co-founders together. It went down to two. What did it feel like saying to the third co-founder that didn't fit, as you were saying that, Andrew, you have to find that fit? Like, what was it like saying, okay, this potentially isn't working? How did you navigate that?
I mean, for us, it was maybe more easy because it was the situation changed and we pivoted from something where our ex-co-founder fit with to something we not fit with. So it was more natural and it was really okay for him and for us to say, okay, for the rest of the path of the research now finds, I will, so our ex-co-founder not be able to bring value And I don't, you know, in the day-to-day job, I don't also fit, and I'm not really interested by the next challenge step. Yeah. But now we are three again, because we found another co-founder who is a tech guy, because our major pivot was to go from a company to a real tech company, real startup also. So yeah, we have Kevin, our CTO.
So for our concept of our listeners, nice setup, by the way, Jules, for me. Previously, the research was more like a service-led company providing retouching services and trying to be the Uber of retouching. As you just said there, Jules, you found that actually it was more important to be a tech company really servicing the service stock market. What are the challenges that you've seen in the market? There are lots of research that you've done over the last few years. Now, I've been following you guys for 3.5 years now. It's gone really quickly. And you guys have done a lot of research in the space. What are the challenges that you have seen that has led you onto this current version of Finds?
Yeah, so first of all, as you mentioned, Peter, the market issue is there. So we every year, 1/3 of clothes are not sold. So just that sums up already to 100 billion units of fashion, but also beauty, because we're dealing with both industries. So 100 million products have to be managed year by year by these brands and have to find new solutions, new life. So that could be resale, donation, and recycling. So that is the overall problem of the market. And then there is also a legislative that comes to it, which is the AGEC, which France is the first country that has prohibited in 2022 the destruction of unsold clothes. But also the EU is following since this July with the ESPR, the Eco Design Regulation, that will also prohibit in the next 2 years in European-wide, and also framework this topic. So that's the tendency in the market, which then leads to the brands are waking up, and we have sensed this over the past years, that the brands are waking up to change the processes and to change how they are dealing with their surplus stocks.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, so fashion brand in the market have a lot of challenges, compliance, volume, and so on. And today, everything, and it was really analyzed from every actor we met today, all of that is managed manually, and fashion brand are not equipped to meet their objective in this topic, because you need to manage a lot of stock with a lot of different partners, and to do it manually, it's really a big pain point. And that's why Finds try to solve this problem by offer to the market a structural answer.
And I mentioned in the introduction that brands like Gap, ASOS, and Joule are really struggling with this subject. Do you think that's one of the reasons, or those are the reasons as to why they're struggling so much?
But we analyzed that this issue is present in all the categories, fast fashion, premium, and luxury. Every brand, every category has a different issue, slightly different issue. Of course, when we talk about fast fashion, there will be a volume issue, and you will not be able to easily, you know, sell on an off-price market. So there will be other solutions to find. So will be in the premium or in the luxury. So our tool is, of course, also proposing solutions where the goods go, but it's more really a structural solution where we will help them to digitalize the processes and to gain efficiency and more quickly also get rid of those excess stocks.
And in terms of you guys pivoting together, did you just like one day decide and woke up and like, we need to pivot, we need to change quickly now to be reacting faster to the market? How does that conversation even happen about pivoting?
You will laugh, but actually with one pivot, yes, it happened one day to the other. because there was COVID. So, you know, COVID was happening very fast. So as a business, sometimes in this kind of situation, you have to take also fast decisions because we didn't know how long COVID will stay. But okay, that was our pivot one when we got to upcycling. But actually, the last periods were really deep conversations and also testing, test and trial on the market. We propose something and we see if it works, or can we also as a team feel like this is something where we want to bring value, because it's not just what is the market, but also who are we as a startup and what impact do we want to create? And so it's both sides.
In my perspective, it's the main pivot was when we decide to go from the B2C to the B2B, and all of the paths after this precise moment was to deep dive and invest a lot and find sometime just a reason to meet, because you cannot go and to, I don't know, LVMH or Hugo Boss with nothing. So to have something to be able to speak with the brand, speak with the people who manage those problems, and to understand and learn about what they day to day. And day after day, we build a big culture about all of this topic, enable us to bring a solution on the market.
So what is that solution then, Jules?
So this solution is called Finds. It's an end-to-end solution, enable fashion brand to manage the stock clearance campaign. I will say maybe differently. It's a stock management system for unsold product. So the goal of Finds is to help the stock manager, or the people in charge of this topic in the brand, to be able to take decision based on data instead to have manage it manually, and also to enable the brand to leverage more from their off-price activities, because the reselling of the product when it's not on the global market and for a really, really few price, it's also one of the best way to have a sustainable strategy. So to resell it to your customer, not on a really few price, but to and try to keep margin. So yeah, Finds help fashion brand in this way to optimize their stock, their off-price activities by being kind of pro tool internally, but also by being an intermediary between all the brand and all the actors capable to absorb stock.
So it's really helping fashion brands to digitize and be a little bit more efficient with how they handle all of their stock. That's just sitting all of these warehouses, basically, and they have no clue as to what's happening. Is that correct?
I wouldn't say they... Some brands, they have already, you know, they have their strategies. Yeah. Let's say a premium brand has 80% of their channels are maybe internal outlets or like external actors on the off-price market. So they have already processes. But the goal of Finds is really to digitalize and to gain more efficiency with a data-based model. So instead of using Excel sheets and sending them separately to different outlets, etc., that will all, everything will happen in Finds, and communication and exchanges will be so much easier and quicker. So that way you gain efficiency, but also you can have more offers from partners because it's easy to send them out and compare your offers easily and do reporting. So it's a centralized system which fits very well to even big groups. Because groups have, for example, the problem of centralizing the data and comparing actions that have been done in the past.
You probably won't know this, Jules, but you mentioned the Excel spreadsheets, Andrea. Fashion loves Excel spreadsheets for some reason. They love to have things on paper written down. They, you know, I'm sure a lot of the fashion brands that you're speaking to right now, they still write things down on paper, I imagine. But certainly when I've worked with some of my clients, you just think, oh my goodness, how do they survive and get things done with this very lo-fi, non-technical way of doing things? I think we're a little bit biased because we like tech in this room, but yeah, it's especially in France.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah, honestly, it's also that's why the tool use a lot of table. Company and user was not loose on our tool. And of course, we had a lot of shortcuts where brands and user can import directly their Excel sheet. So you can combine an Excel work with our solution.
So then you mentioned earlier, Andrea, that AJEC law forbidding the fashion brands to destroy their products. What is the reaction, or what has been the reaction from the fashion brands that you have been speaking to?
Yes, the reaction is that we see a tendency of more interest in recycling and to, in general, have also the CSR implemented into the conversation, which before was mostly done by their supply chain merchandising. And now we also see that CSR wants to be part of the conversation, wants to know where does the products go, is all the solutions sustainable? And so we see this change of really like looking into the solutions, what we have today, but maybe adding and exchanging some of them with more circular solutions. And and recycling is definitely a trend that will come thanks to the laws. And we already invested a lot of time in this topic, and we see that it is really at the beginning. There's a lot of innovation coming, and the recycling will be fully possible of any composition in the next years. Now it's of course very dependent on the composition. That's why Fiends is pushing the data, because once you know the data, you can easily stream to different recycling actors. So if you have a cotton t-shirt, it will be easy to stream to different recycling actors.
Especially for chemical recycling, because for mechanic recycling, composition is less important. But we really think from our studying of the market that chemical recycling will be the future of the recycling.
What is that, Jean? What is chemical recycling?
The chemical recycling is you will globally to make something easy to understand. You will put your textile. It can be garment. It can be a mix of garment into product. I don't have exactly the word in English. You will be able to separate whole of raw material, even for some technology to have directly on the bottom of the
machine.
The machine, not the machine, but the recipient. Will the strong part of the garment. So with those technology, the fashion industry will be able to completely recycle their product. But the problem is today those technology are in the pilot project, not at scale. And that's why also brand need and already invest to push those technology. And in this particular case, the data about the composition really, really matter.
So just to make it a little bit clear for our listeners, so essentially chemical recycling is when, if you imagine this big cauldron and all the products put into it, and then the chemical liquid is then added to the big cauldron to
reactive.
Break down the fibers to be reused again.
Exactly.
It's the reactive. I don't
so think. It sounds like witchcraft, a little bit.
Yeah, and recycling today is very costly, so that is the issue. So these kind of technologies will resolve part of this issue, because today, before you even can recycle, you need to remove the trims.
Mm-hmm.
So that is done sometimes manually
And it takes a long time as well.
It takes a long time. And then there is the sorting of the different of the different compositions, and that is also sometimes done still manually. So there are costs to it, and then of course the energy of the recycling itself and the machines and everything.
So you've been having all of these super interesting and insightful conversations with fashion brands. in your opinions, do you think the fashion industry is working quick enough to implement the AJEC law and to meet their sustainability goals? Or do you think we need to do something more to speed it up?
Yeah, being an actor in innovation and pushing circularity, of course, for us in our position, it's not fast enough. We see that as any kind of innovation or startup, that if you talk to big corporations, decision-making processes take a long time. And that is how it is. It's an organizational problem. And so, of course, it can be faster. And I think with the even the EU regulations, things will even speed up. But things are moving. I've been in the space since 7 years in Paris only. And 7 years ago, there was no incubators of circularity or sustainability or few startups really on a handful in this space. And now it's a lot. So even in the past 7 years, there was already a big evolution. And I think from now it will accelerate.
Yeah, and I think one of the purpose of a company startup like us, it's to also, you know, we are in a capitalist world and our system, and we must show to fashion brand that they can reach their sustainability goal by being even more profitable. Don't speak about croissance, but I really think, and it's what we try to bring with funds. It's by have a better management, more sustainable management of on this topic and solar management. You can extract more value from your product. And yeah, I think it's the key point for help sustainability or help company to be more and more sustainable is to show them they can improve also their revenue from that.
So it's essentially improving the bottom line, but really tapping into all of the stock that's just sat there, essentially, with a solution like Fine. So let's go back to the product, Jules. So you are leading more on the product side of things, and at the heart of Fines is AI. What does that mean specifically, and why is it really important for AI to be integrated into the Fine solution?
I think AI is a tool for leverage. The most important thing on this topic with data. So as we mentioned previously, our goal is help fashion brand to extract the more value as possible from their data to be able to take a data-driven decision. But also, our first KPI, which we want to offer to brands, is the acceleration of their stock rotation. To do this, we already automatized some part of the process, and we want to automatize more and more. To make that brand in the end of the day just need to take decision and not lose a lot of time to do it, things manually. So in this way, AI is an amazing opportunity to help fashion brand to more easily manage this complex topic of unsold product. For example, instead to set up a stock clearance campaign, you will be able to just ask to find, I want to create an offer for my outlet and I want to, you know, bring in this offer the best product I have in the stock with an homogeneous stock, and boom, Fines will automatically set up an offer for you. So yeah, it's how we think that AI can bring value in this topic. And that's why it's super important for us to deep dive. We make some tests. It's already work. To put it at scale, we need some more time.
You need more time. You need more data. I think you are in a chicken and egg situation where you do need more fashion brands to be on board with you guys to be like, okay, we're going to give you all the data, because that's essentially how the AI is going to run. It needs to be able to understand what is out there to process that information to get the recommendations. And I think we are at the start. I think all of this conversation is currently, so we're still at the start of surface stock, inventory management, the AJEC law. It's there, But as you're saying, Andrea, it could go a lot quicker from your perspective. And I completely agree with that. Fashion is not necessarily the fastest industries when it comes to innovations, but it's still an exciting space. Do you think then the future of fashion is AI? Is it all about solutions like fines? Where do you think it's going in terms of sustainability?
I think fines is a SaaS. It's a web model, but also hardware product will have big part of the role to play in the raw material, in the production on demand, and so on and so on. Previously, maybe Andrea will have something to say about this topic, but you say, yeah, we must have more on board, more company. It's true, but in general, the innovation, you can drive innovation just by be hand in hand with the fashion brand and with the brand, with the private actors, and also with the financial world. So for bringing innovation, we must be together, young startup like us, with the role of innovator, but also with the user and people who have the information, the data, the knowledge about the problematic, and hand in hand with the financial world, who will help to leverage and to scale good product who have a good impact.
So I think the future will be sustainability, but backed by tech. We already see step by step that this is happening. For example, with the secondhand market, we see that now it became a norm that every brand has a secondhand platform. But there are tech startups who are doing that for brands. So, or even when it comes to transparency and traceability, also tech startups such as Fairly Made, etc., make it happen to for the customer, but also for the brand to be really following the KPI, sustainable KPI. So we already see, and this is just going to grow. And with the AI, I think things will even more accelerate, even in other topics which are not like design, etc. Tech will be part of fashion, because fashion is still in fashion, so it has to follow.
Yes, fashion is still in fashion.
Follow the fashion in the world.
Yeah. So I just want to finish off this episode with a quick fire round of questions. The first answer that comes into your head, are you ready? So the last garment that you donated.
That's tough, because I only donate every 2 years, I think.
I mean, it was 10 days ago or 20 days ago. A basket, sneakers, and a trouser, I think. Yeah, trouser.
Oh, so those two products. Okay.
Two products.
One brand that you think is killing it with dealing with sustainability issues.
So if we think about France, because we are a Parisian startup, we could maybe say SMCP. We follow them since a long time. And
who is SMCP?
It's the group which is Sandro Mache, Claudie Pierlot, and De Fursac. It's a French premium group, and they have been, as I was mentioning, implementing these kind of tech solutions already, like second-hand platforms, traceability, with Fairly Made communicating all their compositions to their customers. So in France, I would say it's a good example for sustainability and also innovation.
And then one tip that you would give to our listeners and the general public as to how they can be more sustainable?
By being consistent in the sorting of their waste, but we call them
well in the in a brand, but then also in your own home. Being looking at your wardrobe and trying to compose a wardrobe that is maybe not only new products, but maybe you buy also products from the secondhand market, or try to rent part of your clothes. And if you don't like your clothes anymore, maybe try to do some different actions than you would usually just donate bags and bags of clothes, because, yeah, that is not necessarily the best solution. We already know that 80% of the clothes end up, unfortunately, in landfills. So instead of doing these actions, maybe find a exchange close with friends or resell a part of it. And yeah, be maybe more creative than, and that's the same for brands actually. How do you manage your stock of clothes and try to find a diversity of solutions? Yeah.
My advice would be to just have a white, black shirt and wear approximately every day to have the same style.
The French look Jules. Yeah. Black, white,
every day the same.
And some chinos, right? Yeah, French, just the Parisian in the UK. Favorite thing about AI or fashion?
I know that Levi's, for example, is an innovative company in doing AI, proposing personalized looks based on your purchase history. Or proposing products that would be great fit for you, that will be very helpful for the consumer to take faster decisions.
Okay, so recommendations and personalization. One tip that you would give to entrepreneurs working in the sustainable fashion space or looking to work in the sustainable fashion space?
Yeah, the tip would be, because we went to this iteration, so before you actually decide to do an iteration, you always have to make sure that to talk to the actors, as we mentioned before, to talk to brands, to get a confirmation basically before you invest in creating, for example, a tech product or any product. So try to get the confirmation before you do a move.
Make mock-ups.
Mock-ups. I know that's the bane of your life. The last 12 months, those mock-ups. Thank you very much for this episode, Anthony and Jules. Yes.
Thank you very much. Super great.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to click follow to keep up to date with the latest episodes. And if you like this episode, please give us a review. If you want us to feature a specific theme or guest, please give us a message at beyondform.io. I will see you very soon.